my beautiful people, and welcome to the You in Progress podcast. This is your host, Gabriella, and I am the luckiest to have you with me today. This podcast has been designed with a mix of experiences, ideas, and just overall nuggets of gold gathered along my journey and the journey of our guests. So what I love about the discussions is, guess what? It's in progress. It's you in progress. So settle in, grab your coffee, workout sneakers, duffel bag of money, whatever you're trying to do, and let's get into it. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the You in Progress podcast, episode 26. Super special episode. We have Guillermo back in the house. Hey.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How about you?
Good. You know, I'm chilling like a villain. I could not complain. Thank you so much for joining, because let me tell you, though, your wife is my first OG friend of the family, but I met you through your wife, and you, like, honestly, Guillermo's energy is like a very healed, masculine, like, I don't even know. I just wanted to share you with, like, all the men I know in the world. So I get to, which I'm excited for. Awesome. So I guess tell me more about kind of what you've been like working on and feeling, and what's been kind of, I think, most burning in like yourself and your passion and, you know, about yourself right now.
Yeah, I think since the last time we spoke, it's just been a continuation of the work, right? And I think over the last year, a lot has changed for me in terms of work, life. In the world is upside down. I think no one is not aware of that. And so I think it's just regulating myself on the daily has been a task that has become a little harder than it used to be, just because of everything that's happening. I have a 5-year-old who now forms full sentences and full thoughts, and he's starting to, you know, show his own level of emotions and frustrations and opinions, and so that's added a new layer of I think complexity in a way, because how you come across and how you show up for yourself is how you show up for others too, right? I don't really see a difference between both. Like, I don't think that you can show up great for others and not be doing the same for yourself, or vice versa. And so I will say that over the last couple of months, it's been a lot of work and understanding that the work that I'm doing for myself, yes, is for me and for living a full life, but at the same time is this responsibility that I feel constantly on the way that I live my life, and what ripple effect does that have on the people around me, especially those closest to me, like my son, for example. So it's been interesting. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting to, you know, a 5-year-old does this thing that they're very, very capable of holding up a mirror and calling you out on your shit, and so it's a constant reminder of why it's really important to have those practices that I've set for myself.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. So you mentioned about like your emotions, and I'd love for you, like, what was a time, or I guess what's a memory that you can remember that you were just like, okay, like, we need to pump the brakes, like, something is not in alignment, like, I don't like how this is triggering, reflecting, whatever the word we want to use. But what was a moment that you can remember that you'd love to share that you feel was kind of the beginning to like the pivotal point for you of healing and change?
I think for me, it probably was this, and I think I mentioned it briefly last time we talked, it was this feeling of emptiness when I had a lot of things that I wanted, right? So like material things, like I had a house, I have food, I could travel, I could live a decent life in the standards of you know, materials. And I was like, why do I feel so unfulfilled? Like, I felt like nothing really, I wasn't passionate about anything, right? And I think there was that COVID probably did that for me a lot, like it did for a lot of people. Distractions are gone, you know, outings are gone. You're kind of stuck at home. You know, at the time, my job wasn't really doing much. I was employed, thankfully, again, very, very grateful for counting my blessings. But there was this thing where I was like, who am I? What am I about? Like, what do I want to do with my life? And I am very cognizant that I have a lot of like innate talents and I have a lot of things that I'm really good at, but like I never have taken the time to really explore those and expand those and think about those. The way I have always thought about them was, what can I do for others and how can I help others and how can I be there for others? And it got to a point when COVID happened and things quieted down and I was like, wait, no one's called. Like no one's checking in. Like what's going on? And I think it was a moment where I realized that I'm always so aware of other people that I have taught and conditioned people to not have to ever be aware or think about me. And that's because they were seeing that I wasn't doing that for myself. And so I think that was the biggest moment for me where I was like, who is Guillermo about? What am I about? What's my purpose, right? Like me, like how do I feel when everything else goes away? Am I enough? Or am I like, anxiety kicks in. Am I like scratching the palm of my hands because I don't know what to do with myself because I don't know who am I when I don't have people around me? And I think that was for me the biggest part or the biggest moment where I was like, okay, I gotta change something. When everything quiets down, I should be comfortable in my own skin. I should be fulfilled and happy with just my presence.
Yeah, no, that's so, and especially when it comes to like, I know for myself, like, people can only meet you where you've met yourself, right? So I know for me, if I am kind of seeing my outer world not showering me with love and not showering me with validation that I want and like whatever it is, I'm like, okay, like I had to kind of recognize. Now I'm like, okay, like cool, like let's sit back. But in really the beginning stages of like the awareness and like being more conscious, I'm like, oh shit, like I don't even love myself like that. Like I don't even validate myself, and I want like a boss or like a boyfriend or like my neighbor to be like, girl, you're cute, you're everything. And I don't do that shit to myself ever. So it's like, yeah, like you can only be met wherever you meet yourself. And yeah, no, like you mentioned, like silence, like the pandemic really, yeah, like we had like a abundance of Netflix and like all abundance of sourdough recipes and like all that stuff. But it's like all that was, you know, the folks who were able to like sit and like get fidgety and get a little anxious and realize it's like the lack of distraction that like is creating this, right? Like really sitting and facing with yourself and like, who are you and who, how do I feel about myself? How do I feel about my identity? Yeah, no, that's huge. That's huge. So kind of after then the pandemic, like what did it look for you? Like the beginning of this like new kind of walk that you were walking?
Yeah, I think it started with getting to understand a little bit more about myself. And what I mean by that is really opening the wounds, going back and thinking, how was I raised? What did I experience? Where did this come from? And there was a couple of actual things that I did. Like I studied the Enneagram a little bit more. I worked with the EPP Foundation and attended some courses and classes and cohorts where we got to really get to understand our types, right? Like I'm a type two, which means I love to serve, right? I like to support others. I'm a helper. But at the same time, I can deplete my cup very, very fast. And when I do deplete my cup, then I can get very unhealthy. And so I'm not doing for myself what I'm willing to do for others. And so learning why that happened and where that came from was a kind of like the first, I will say, big phase of it all, right? Like really going, why am I feeling this way? Like, why does it matter to me that so-and-so didn't ask me for help when I don't even need help, right? Like, ask me if they could help me when I don't really even need help. Like, why do I need this, feel like I need people to feel the need to need me, if that makes any sense. I just said the word need like 15 yeah. times, but like,
no, that hit. I'm like, uh-huh, yes, what? Preach, why?
Why? why do I think that my value lies on people needing me, right? Like, where did that come from? What in my life did I experience? Right, because there's this concept that you study, that I studied at least with the Enneagram, right? That you're born with this divine spark and you are who you are, but then you start creating attachment, right? And that attachment is usually your caregiver, your parents, whoever raised you, whoever you're around. Mm-hmm. And that's when the conditioning starts. That's where your personality starts developing, right? Because you're learning from these human beings. And so that was really important for me to understand too, right? That at the end of the day, that old saying, I call it old, but people still say it, of like, do what I say, not as I do. It's just BS, right? Because we're creatures of habit. Like, what we see is what we are, you know, kids are starting to understand and form their character before they can even communicate clearly with you, because they're watching you, right? For years, now 3, 4, 5 years of their life, they've just been watching you act. And for me, that was step number one, was how did I grow up? What did that look like? And then doing that without judgment and resentment was really hard, right? Like, oh, I thought about this. Well, why did my parents allow that to happen? And why did my mom do that? Or why did my dad do that? And having to then realize that I still have resentment and I still had anger built up for certain situations that I experienced in life. And knowing that it was time for me to rehash those and forgive and move on. It was, mm-hmm. I think, the biggest face after that initial realization was, okay, I now need to dig deep, go ask myself 15 whys if I need to, until I get to the root cause of that. And then what do I need to do to heal that? And sometimes it meant picking up the phone and calling someone and having that conversation, even when that person wasn't ready potentially to have that conversation at the same level of awareness as I did. But it was rough. It wasn't a lovely experience, but it was liberating.
I love that. It kind of like brings up a couple things in my head. So when you were talking about like need, so I know for myself, like I've always been like, I'm an empath, like I'm so emotionally intelligent, like that's been like my bread and butter of like how I identify. And I'm not like shaming my emotional intelligence or like my empathy, because I do have that, but like it's almost like, what is the intention behind my empathy? And actually, you said the quote last time we spoke, and it was like your intention's beautiful, something like this. Your intention's beautiful, but what really resonates is its impact. Right. And I'm like, okay. And it took me a while to like get my mind like blown by that, because I was like, okay. And then I got deeper and deeper into it. So my empathy, a lot of the times, is based on a need to validate that I feel for others. Like, you know, and I kind of, I'm trying to think of like maybe words to explain that even more, but there's a high I get in feeling for others. There's a high I get from feeling what other people feel. Like, hop in the elevator, I don't even know this person, but I feel that they're not well, or I feel that they're, you know, really happy or whatever it is. And it's been great to be able to like jive with most people I meet, even if they're not in the same like energetic like kind of level, like even if they're not really best for my world. But yeah, it was like this validation to be like, I need to be able to connect and feel for you, and like in that it feeds my need for purpose, like even if it's not the healthiest for me.
Right. And I think that's like that's probably one of the hardest moments for me, or it was the hardest moment for me, was realizing that I thought I was doing all of this to help people, but am I even really helping them? Am I showing up as my authentic self, right? Like, am I really telling them and giving them what they want out of me, or am I giving them and telling them who I am? Like, am I living in my truth and allowing them to see me? And I think that was for me a big aha moment, where I was like, just because you're there for them and serving them, if they want to go green, you go green. If they want to go blue, you'll go blue. If they want to, you know, right? How are you serving them? And that was the impact piece, right? Like, my intention was, hey, I'm going to be here for you. And if you want to go and start exploring the world of crystals, I'm going to go explore. I'm going to become a crystal, you know, connoisseur with you. but maybe I don't care about crystals deep inside. Mm-hmm. And I'm just doing it because I want to maintain and sustain a relationship. But then it becomes a very one-sided relationship where that person's constantly doing and I'm constantly following. When in reality, I think a relationship should be give and take. How do you live your life? This is how I live my life. What do we share in common? How do you challenge me? How do I challenge you? How do I help you? Right? And that was a big aha moment where I realized that I may be actually hurting these relationships, but maybe hurting or hindering somebody's potential to grow as a human being because I'm not really offering anything other than a shadow of what they do or what they believe or what they're into. And so, yeah, people like you because, I mean, who doesn't like people who agree with them?
Well, everybody loves me, but I'm also like brown nosing with everybody.
Right.
No, I get that.
Right.
I get that.
I also realized that like I have value. And I think more than anything, what it made me realize was that I wasn't understanding the power that I have and the value that I have and the beauty that I have. And that I am loving and caring and that I do have knowledge and that I do have life experiences that matter and that I don't always have to be in the shadows of somebody else, that I can create my own light. I can be my own light. And that was, you know,
that's so beautiful.
That was hard to understand. But eventually when I understood that, then I knew that that light can then impact other people and I could still fulfill that part of me that loves to support and serve and help others without not taking care of myself.
I love that. I love that. And like, honestly, I just did an episode this week about like watering your garden. Mm. And so like, and it's so, you know, either if it's cultural or societal or gender norms or whatever it is, like, especially for women, it's so frowned upon to like be like, you know what, like I'm gonna reclaim, I'm gonna take back this energy, take back this love that I usually let leak everywhere, like not super mindful of where I'm even pouring my love, and I'm going to reinvest it in my garden and like see and explore my garden, where are the areas that need more love. Some areas like are super thriving, right? Some people are like, yo, like I've never made this much money in my life, but like my intimacy is lacking, or the intimacy with myself and how I see myself is super lacking. But I make, you know, almost seven figures. So like, you know, it kind of, you know, allows, gives you permission to be like, nah, like actually the love that I'm always like sharing with others, which is beautiful, like don't get me wrong, but that love is always dedicated first to yourself. And then once you really do have that vibrance and that lush beauty, by all means. And on top of that, then people, I do believe. And when you said that, I forgot what you said just now, like in 2 minutes ago, how you phrased it. But it's funny how when we redefine ourselves, sometimes others, you said speaking, like having uncomfortable conversations. And sometimes when we redefine and realign ourselves, like it's almost like the narrative or the whatever that person was in your life, sometimes they're able to meet you in a different space. Like I remember I've had like conversations in the past like year or so, let's say. And I went into them being like, oh shit, like I don't even know how this is gonna go, but I really do need to like share my truth, and like it's important that I share it with this person. And somehow I don't know if it's just the energy around myself changed, or like the narrative that I had in my mind maybe changed, but that person was able to be so receptive, or maybe they kind of felt me differently. I don't know, but it's, you know, I'm never surprised these days if like maybe in the past a relationship or a friendship that I think if I would have spoken to them about something similar, they may have not received it. Mm-hmm. But some people just like, I don't know, they open up when you kind of change your own like space and how you flow and how you glow.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. That's super beautiful.
Yeah. And I think in this process, you also learn about emotional responsibility, right? And so the language that you use when you're ready to share those conversations kind of yields the result that you're talking about. Because if I go into a conversation, I tell my mom, well, you did this, this, and that, and it made me feel like this, this, and that, and because of that, I turn into this, this, and that, I'm attacking her, right? Like, with the language and the tone. But when I go into that conversation going, hey, you know, I know we lived this experience together and you did the best you could with what you had, but the reality is that that experience had this impact on me. And since then, I never healed it and I've allowed it to turn into this. And I just want you to know that I have forgiven you in that experience. It really is a very different way of presenting something, because the reality is that we are doing the best that we can, right? Like, you don't know what you don't know. And so my parents and my family, they had rough upbringings, right? They did the best they could. They were, I mean, I cannot imagine having a 3-year-old at 20 years old, right? And in not the most advanced part of the country, with, you know, in Costa Rica, we're not the best, without the technology you have today and the jobs that we have today. And it's a matter of also, when you present, you have this emotional responsibility to know that what I feel is mine and I own it and I control it, and I can't control what happened to me, but I can't control what I do with it. I think that that allows for those types of conversations to be a lot more powerful. And for you to be freeing, because at the end of the day, you're having this conversation to free yourself, to be able to move on, right? Like, to be able to move on, knowing that you now understand why you do what you do and why you've been the way you've been. And now that you've closed that door, now you have a free choice to either move on from that or stay in it. Right. But you are aware. And more than likely, I think once you're aware, you realize you're like, I don't want to be in that spot. Right. That ain't for me.
No. Oh, hell no. Hell no. And when you taste that, like you said, that freedom, that emotional, spiritual, that release, that bind, whatever the billion words we want to call it, like, there's nothing like it. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you realize, oh, shit, like, I was the cure to my own disease. You know, it wasn't anything outside. It wasn't anything that was inflicted on me, right? Like, we're not responsible for the traumas that we have, but we are responsible to heal them, you know? And so how did you feel when you first had that, like, you know, quote unquote, like, that come to God kind of moment for yourself? That, like, how did that feel? Did you feel like shame around it, that, you know, you had healing to do that was pretty strong? Were you excited? Like, what did you feel?
I think a little bit of everything. It was like a cluster of emotions, from, I think, not regret, that's not the word I'm looking for, from, wow, how come I didn't notice this sooner, right? Like that, like, almost like a judgment of, like, how have you been allowing yourself to continue to feel this way or to continue to act this way when you had the solution all this time within you, right? Like, when people tell you everything you need, you have it, like, right? Like, you are all you need. It can come across as very self-centered, and it's like, well, we still need the other humans. But what that really means for me, at least, is that I have all of the tools and resources to be able to get myself out of a funk, right? And obviously, like, there's external factors in there, like, you know, therapy and support groups and people who think alike and all these different things. But ultimately, you have what it takes to be who you want to be. And in that moment, I felt happy. I felt sad. I felt angry, you know, angry at people who had caused, you know, situations that become traumatic to me. And now really realizing them, or knowing that, like, my gut always told me, like, hey, this is why you feel that way. But I never allowed myself to explore deep into that feeling, right? Because, you know, I grew up in a very, you know, Hispanic, you know, city of Miami, and you know, where there's a lot of this macho man ego around feelings and thoughts and therapy and all these different things that I've grown to believe that, like, if you want to have a one-to-one with your friend, like, you do so with alcohol involved, or a night that you went to go a party or on a pool table after you had a couple of drinks. And nothing wrong with having a couple of drinks, but, like, there's times where you need to have these conversations with a very clear mind, right? And be able to be present, truly be present and absorb and feel what you need to feel. Because once you do, then you realize and you're clear about what steps you need to take next. And that's, in that moment, I felt all of that. I felt angry, upset. I felt lonely, going, like, how come no one ever called this out to me, or how come no one ever saw this in me? But again, how can people see something that I had never even seen myself? And so it was a roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah. And like, I love that, like, you met yourself where you were at, right? Like, and it can be super hard. And I know I say that to myself, like, this morning it was raining in New York City. And I'm like, usually, like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I have my hot yoga, this and that. I was like super out of it. And at first I was like super judging myself, like, Gabriella, why are you in a funk? Or why are you doing this? Or why are you doing that? But like, the art and the ability to meet yourself where you're at that day and like lower the judgment, lower the comparison to even yourself, forget other people, like how you were 2 days ago to now, not today's a different day. So right. Like, that's beautiful to be able to give yourself permission to meet yourself where you're at, however that looks and feels and, you know, everything. I think that's super beautiful.
Yeah. And it's not something that I will say I gave myself permission to do before. I've unfortunately lost, you know, quite a bit of people in my life. And it wasn't until the last human I lost, and then my pet, my dog that I lost, where I really allowed myself to feel grief and go through that process of grieving, where I got to really like be like, it's okay to not be okay. That's when I really learned that it's okay to wake up today and say, you know what? I don't feel good. I feel sad, and I feel, you know, like I don't want to do anything, and not judging myself for that, right? Eventually I come out of that funk, but it's okay to have a day where you're just like, you know what? The day's gloomy. I don't feel like doing anything. I'm in a mood. I'm just aware that I'm in a mood. But because I am aware that I'm in a mood, I can better address it, right? Because I know what I'm feeling. Like, I know exactly what it is. And so I know that I can help myself navigate through that day based on where I'm at. And I can set the boundaries around me to protect what I'm feeling. And that's not something that I did before, right? Like, I would grieve on my own. I would make sure everybody else was good and make sure everybody thought I was okay. I don't need a hug. I don't need anything. I'm fine. I'm here for you, right? And then I'll close the door and break down on my own. And knowing that this time around, I was able to say, I know you're hurting, but I'm hurting too. And I need some time. I need some space.
And how is that, how has that trickled down in not only your identity as a man, but your relationship, not only with your wife, your children, your family, your job, like in, I guess, in kind of like a quick cliff note of that, how have you seen the work that you've done trickle down and benefit the other parts of your life?
Well, I think it's benefited a lot of the people who I've interacted, my relationship, the way that I wouldn't say the people, I would say the way that I've built my relationships with others has benefited tremendously. And I think a prime example of that is my son, right? That he's 5 years old and he lives half of his life is an imaginary world and half of his life is the real world. But knowing, I just recently spoke with a teacher where they said that one of the things they were really impressed about with him was that he has this ability to self-regulate, which is really odd in a five-year-old. And so what that means is really like when he's frustrated or something happens, he kind of just goes off to the side and just does whatever he needs to do, which is usually just like clamping his fist and getting really red in the face, you know, like when you're like that kind of like and then he just lets go of it, and then he comes right back when he's ready. And so she tried to intervene one of the days, and he told her, I need my space. And that's when I realized, oh my god, like these things that I'm doing when he frustrates me, right, like his behavior is driving me insane. Sometimes I tell him like, hey, listen, I am very overwhelmed right now. And I just need a minute. I need some space because I don't want to say or do something that can be hurtful to you. So Papa just needs a moment, okay? And realizing that just doing that, he's learning how to do that too, right? And so we've had conversations around, well, this person, he made me. And I'm like, no, nobody makes you, right? He did something and then you felt something about it, but he didn't make your feelings go that way, right? And it's people are like, how can you teach that to a five-year-old? And it's not that you teach it, it's that you live it and they see it. And so that's how I've seen the trickle effect happen, not only with my partner and the family, with my kid. Those relationships get stronger because at this point there's less finger pointing happening and more ownership about how we feel, and then coming together and expressing that in a safe space. That's what's honestly kept my marriage afloat and has made my marriage, you know, what it is today. But there were times where we were ready to just be like, peace out, right? Like, I don't know, this isn't gonna work. And so with therapy and all that, learning that at the end of the day, I'm not responsible for your happiness. You're responsible for yours, I'm responsible for mine. But together, we can share that and make it a better place. I think that is some of the ways how that self-work has trickled into, at least my immediate relationships, the ones that I spend the most time with.
I love that. I love that. We're running up on time, but Guillermo, like, hurt people, heal people, they heal people. And I thank you, because I know I feel that your energy right now and your gift and your the work that you've done will 1000% resonate with somebody who really this is what they needed to hear. Sometimes we have to see it or hear it to believe it, right? Like if that fuego, if that if it's not within us and we just need a little spark to help us. And I believe that you've done that today. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for this conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
So yes, thank you, Guillermo. That's a wrap, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. And guess what? We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are everything. Do me a favor and like this episode, even leave us a comment. You can even check us out at the UN Progress Podcast on all social media platforms. And remember, you got this. Until next time.